Hey friends, thanks for joining us for the Messiah's Misfits podcast. No matter where you are in your walk of faith, this podcast is to help you grow and to learn. I'm Mary, and I'm joined with Josh, and our guests this week are Shannon and Kara.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, guys. Glad to have you back in the studio.
Yes.
Today we're going to talk about the armor of God.
Ooh.
What a glorious subject.
The full armor.
The full armor.
The full armor.
Is heavy. Right. That's when I get on the scale, it's the armor of God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Well, we can find the armor in Ephesians chapter 6.
Yes,
right. But there's a history, and Kara is going to tell us a little bit about that.
Okay, Mary, I will do that.
She was a teacher, don't you know?
I would just thought it was very interesting because the history of the book of Ephesians starts with Paul and his missionary journeys, and that was a part of the world that had so much worldly things, the political element, the educational element, and it was a big commercial center, and they had the big Temple of Artemis was what the Greeks called it. The Romans called it the Temple of Diana, and all the myths that went along with that in the pagan religion, that was where it was located. And all these influences impacted the people in that area. And when you were talking
about,
that was
like Greek mythology.
Yes.
Type. Yeah.
And when you talk about relating that to our world today, we have these things going on.
We do.
And so if we aren't careful, we're influenced by secular, worldly things like they were.
Right.
And so Paul was there, and he was establishing a church. Actually, he went on a second missionary journey, and he left Priscilla and Aquila there, whom he had met in Corinth. And he left them there to establish the church and get it going. And then on his third missionary journey—
That's in Acts.
It is in Acts chapter 18 and 19, I think. And then on his third missionary journey, he went back because it was so important to him to make sure that the people, when he wrote the Ephesian letter, the first three chapters were kind of the doctrine of the gospel of God's word. And then chapters 4 through chapter 6, verse 9, was telling the people how to live it out. And when you put all those together, if those people do what his letter is saying, they're going to need the full armor of God in order to accomplish doing those things, because Satan is going to attack. And so,
with false teachings.
With false teachers. There were so many false teachers that were coming in and telling them different things. And so he left Timothy there to be an encourager and to help them with the false teachings. And so after all those people have been there to combat that problem of false teachers, and they've given them all this encouragement and given them, and Paul had given them this letter from the Roman prison that he was in, then 30 years later, God tells John the Revelator in Revelations, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, he tells the church at Ephesus these things. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, "The angel of the church of Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance." They had done that. "I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, those false teachers, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do these things as you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place." He didn't say, "I'll think about it."
Right.
"I'm going to do it.
I don't want
a lampstand removed."
It's their first love. You know, he said, you've lost your first love. You've forgotten it. And that can happen so easily in life because we get so caught up in our day-to-day busyness that can happen to any one of us.
Yes, that word busy. I try. We all know whenever we greet someone, "How are you?" "I'm just so busy.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. I try to make a conscious decision to say something different.
Right.
Because I feel like mm-hmm. busyness is of the devil.
Yeah.
And
it can be, for
it,
sure.
It can be. Mm-hmm. And
if you're not about the Father's business.
True.
Yeah.
True. But even sometimes the Father's business, if it's about the business and not about the
right.
Father,
mm-hmm.
then that's
there you go.
Busyness too.
Yes. Good point.
So he says, but you have this in your favor. You hate the practice of the Nicolaitans, who I also hate. Whoever has ears, all of us, we have ears. We need to hear this.
Yeah.
Let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
You know, I think that what happens is we get into church and we get into, what's the word I'm looking for? We fall into repetition. We fall into, you know, we go, we sit down, we listen to the service, we get up, we leave, we go to
complacency.
Lunch. Yes.
Could you take that into a further aspect and call it a rut?
Right. Absolutely. We get into a rut with our church life. And that is what he's telling the Ephesians. You're just going through the motions. The Spirit of God is not flowing through this. If there's no Spirit of God, there's no liberty. There's nothing happening there that is going to make people be hungry for the Word of God, to be hungry to learn and to give you that fire, that zeal that you need. You're just going to fall asleep in the pew. I mean, you don't have any gumption to get up and go.
You're not victorious.
Exactly.
And if you think about this in the, as the, we're the bride of Christ, and you think about this in like a marriage relationship, how you get to going through the motions and you get to live in your life and you're busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you're still married or whatever, but
right.
you're not, you've lost that first love.
Right.
You have to spend intimate time. You have to,
yes,
you have to spend intimate time with
yes.
God. Not just the busyness of day to day, but time in prayer, time in the Word,
yes.
time alone with Him where you can hear Him, because the world is so loud too. It's not just busy, but it's loud, and there's so much noise that you can't hear Him and you can't have that intimate time with Him unless you make it a point.
Right.
And
He wants us to do that.
Oh, that's what He wants.
Yes.
That's how He builds those personal relationships with us. Is in our alone time with Him. Of course, we come together corporately and we worship together, but if we're not having that time alone with God,
right.
You could liken it to a marriage relationship where you don't have that intimate time alone together and things fall
mm-hmm.
apart. It happens like that in the church too and in your walk with God.
That's true.
We have responsibilities to Him.
Well, you know,
as His bride.
Remember in the garden, He came in the cool of the day. And He walked with them.
Yeah, that's what He wants.
That was an appointed time. He had an appointed time set aside that He took to visit with Adam and Eve, right?
Right.
We have to set that time aside.
We do.
And we don't.
He's there.
Yes.
He's just waiting for us to meet
waiting
Him.
For us to come and talk to Him.
Well, and to take that one step further, Brother Randall and I talked about this. We also have to learn how to use that time effectively, maybe, or to learn how to have that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can have that strong relationship where I am in the Spirit and I am visiting with God at home. But I struggle with that at church because ADD just takes over.
Mm-hmm.
It's not age.
Sure.
There's no hyperactivity
right.
in that.
Right.
But I get distracted. And I think that's a learning process also that goes into that personal relationship
sure.
of learning how to completely tune out
close your
the
eyes.
Distractions around
mm-hmm.
you.
And I have to do that too, Kara. I have to say, Lord, help me to just focus on You.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is easy.
And that's... you know, kind of crucifying the flesh.
Yes.
Yes.
Is before you show up in those situations, being prepared.
Yes.
You know, because.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, our
what
flesh
a difference
is...
it makes in a service
yes.
if everybody shows up.
Oh,
prepared.
I prayed up. Yes.
Yes. to be with God.
Amen.
Versus, you know.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. Coming in distracted.
In, because then you're like hungry. Frazzled and, I'm tired. I'm hungry.
And that's the flesh getting mm-hmm. all in our way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And muddying up what God wants to do.
Yes.
I 100% agree with that.
I do too.
Well, as Paul was describing in his Ephesian letter, and I can't help but have this image in my head. Paul is chained to these Roman soldiers periodically.
Mm-hmm.
He has to have used what he saw on their person and went, and God said, okay, this is how you describe it. We've talked about using things in real life. He was using what those people knew. When they saw a Roman soldier, they knew that that was a protected person because of everything that he put on.
Right.
And that Roman soldier was prepared for battle.
Right.
And so I feel like Paul used what he saw as an analogy in God's word.
Absolutely. God doesn't waste anything we go through.
No.
If he allows us to go through it, he will not waste those. I mean, there will something come out of it. And think about what came out of all the trials and tribulations that Paul went through.
Right.
We are benefiting from that and learning from it and growing from it. He sat there and stared at those
yes.
soldiers that he was chained to and looked at that armor and described it and put it into, he made it of God.
Right.
Yes. He made it of God.
Well, you know, there's
and
seven
he taught
pieces.
Us. Yeah.
Seven pieces. That, you know, that's not, doesn't go unnoticed that there were seven pieces
yeah.
of armor.
No. That's the perfection.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well,
and Paul, the preacher that he was, He's sitting there and he's putting together a sermon.
That's
like,
oh, yes.
I've got this. This will preach, right?
Yeah. Amen.
And yes. it does.
And Lord they heard it. I'm
and
sure.
it does.
Yes.
I'm sure those soldiers heard more than they wanted to.
Oh,
can you imagine
yes.
being chained to Paul?
Oh my
Listen,
goodness!
You know he praised and worshipped.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
You know he did.
And they had to listen because mm-hmm. they were right there next to him.
Right.
Whose duty did you draw today?
Exactly.
Oh,
I got Paul again. Yes. But you know, the first piece of the armor, he said, gird your loins with truth.
Mm-hmm.
Because what are they doing? They're listening to false prophets. They're listening to false teachings. He wrote about that.
Yes.
Your false teachings. So if we make a conscious effort to be truthful in our words and actions, even when it's difficult, you know, we anchor our faith in the truth,
right.
which is how we do that. We read God's word.
Yes.
We study God's word like we are right now.
Yeah. Yes.
And that was the foundation.
Mm-hmm. It's what held it all together.
Yes, of the equipment that soldier was putting on,
yes.
that Roman
mm-hmm.
soldier was putting on, was that belt, because it had to gird up
mm-hmm.
his loins, get his robe or whatever out of the way.
Yes.
And so Paul says, okay, let's call that the belt of truth.
Which is the truth of God's word.
Yes.
That's what holds everything
yes.
together
yes.
in our life.
And
I do that in the morning. I'll say, I'm buckling on right around the middle of me.
That's
you know,
right.
Because we need it right in the middle of our life mm-hmm. every day is God's truth. Buckle that truth around the center of you.
Yes. And we have scripture that tells us that Satan lies to us. He
yes.
does all the time. 844, John 844 says he was talking to the leaders, Jesus was, and he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language.
Right.
Wow. For he is a liar and the father of lies. So there's the scripture that we need to be girding ourselves with. And then we have the second way that the truth holds that belt together is our personal commitment.
Right.
Just like you've been talking about, to walk upright.
Right.
That we are different from the world.
Yep.
I talked to a young person this weekend that was talking about visiting a church and in another state, and they didn't feel welcome, and things that were going on, and I said that the some people that you were experiencing didn't make themselves different right. from the world. It's our job as his child to make ourselves be different from the world. How does the world see the difference?
If you don't look different from the world, you don't have the truth.
What's the purpose?
Because the world right now doesn't look anything like we're supposed to look.
But see, I think what happens to us is in a moment like that is we think, I don't have to be the greeter today. So-and-so will greet them, you know, when we should all be prepared.
Yes.
Every time somebody walks through the door, to be open arms, because we do want new. We want everybody to be saved. We want everybody to give their life to Christ.
Right.
And even on our bad days.
Yeah. And if you want to be family with somebody, you don't want to be the only person that greeted me was the person whose job it was that day.
Exactly.
You want to be like, I walked in there and I felt like I'm already family with these people.
Right.
Because they, you know, they all greeted me. They all
smothered me. Yeah.
And not just at church, but out in the world and, you know, at my job and stuff, wherever I go. That's our responsibility.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That belt of truth, just like you say you put on.
And
every
if we
morning.
Don't know the word and we don't read the word for ourselves, we're in danger.
Yes.
Because the world is like your scripture was saying here, he's the father of lies. There's a lot of things that sound true, seem true, they're not true.
Right.
And I know that because I've read God's word. And if you're listening to whatever you hear about on the internet or, you know, you're whatever videos, reels, TikToks, whatever.
Right.
What is it, Josh? All the things.
All the above.
All the above. You can. There's a lot of lies.
False doctrine.
A lot of false doctrine. Mm-hmm. And so you have to know God's word for yourself.
Right.
So that you can discern the truth from.
And that's a big thing is discernment
lie.
Because they all sound like they're truth.
That's what. Right. Yeah. That but, almost sounds true, but it's not true.
Exactly.
Right. Or, you know. It sounds like if I believe that, I'm walking in love, you know, and whatever, if I'm accepting of everything, that means I'm love and God is love. Sounds true.
Yeah. Or
it's people, so false.
Or people think that they get too much into the traditionalism of Christianity instead of getting into the relationship with Jesus. So that's where it starts to get into that offside again.
Yes. Mm. That's good.
But discernment definitely does play into truth too. You have to be able to discern truth from lies and.
There was a lesson I did years ago that talked about this situation, and they compared it to a person who works in a bank. That person who works in the bank that is supposed to find the counterfeit money is the one who has to study real money inside and out, know every characteristic. They don't study what might be false. They study every characteristic of the real thing so
the
that they can immediately identify. That's the same thing with God's word. If we have
studied
scoped
the
it
truth.
Out and studied it thoroughly, we know whenever those
Then you hear
truth.
It and you're like, ding, 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 that's not true. Not
right.
Yes.
Well, and if you go to number two, the number two piece of equipment, that's what I'm going to call it, okay. Equipment. It's like we're playing sports, okay? We got to get equipped. We put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is found in Ephesians 6:14, which means strive for righteousness. Make a conscious effort to live a life that pleases God, seeking to do what is right and just. Repent and forgive. Ouch.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ouch.
That is hard.
Yes.
But it is a requirement.
It's required. And that, you know, we let our emotions, our flesh get in the way of putting on that breastplate. And when we don't get up and put it on because we are offended that day, or we went to bed offended and we woke up offended because we didn't pray it out, we didn't talk to God about it and get it under the blood, we wake up and we don't put that breastplate on. And then we walk around offended. And he does not like offended people. He does not like the offense. You know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly, yeah.
He wants us to be forgiving, not offended. You know, bring it to him. Forgive that person.
Right.
Because what did he say when they crucified him? Forgive them, Father, for they don't know what they do.
And how can I can't even imagine speaking those words in that situation.
No, and we're like, they didn't like my dress. I'm not even going to talk to them people anymore. They said I looked horrible. I mean, come on.
True.
You did. You might have looked horrible, but get a different dress, okay, and come back to church. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We have to stop wearing our heart on our sleeves. Exactly. That's not your color, honey. Okay? That could be true. That could be true.
Yes. And righteousness comes directly from Christ.
Yes.
Yeah, I started to say, we have to walk uprightly and strive to do well, but it's only the blood of Jesus that makes us righteous.
Come on now.
The righteousness of Christ. It's the righteousness of Christ.
Ouch.
And I have been reading Dressed to Kill by Rick Renner about the full armor of God, and I just wanted to share this quote about the breastplate because it says, when believers walk in their breastplate of righteousness, they pray with power and authority because they know that because of that breastplate, they can come directly into the presence of God and pray with great boldness.
Ooh, that's good.
If I'm walking in the righteousness of Christ, I can come boldly before the throne, and I can make my petitions known, and I can go through life. You know, the Word of God says, as He is, so are we in this world.
Yes.
And it gives us a sense of boldness and power to know that I'm righteous in Christ.
Right. Amen.
He did all that for us.
He did.
And we can put that on every morning and wear it around and be God-fident.
Right. Right. Hey, that's good. Yeah. I like that.
And it's protecting vital organs. Right. So in life, in our spirit life, it's protecting our vital organs so that we can do what you're talking about.
Well, in our health.
Yes.
Those vital organs are important to our health.
Yes.
Guarding our heart.
Yes. Now we're going to go to three.
Well, and it also says that that breastplate,
the
breastplate of a Roman soldier came from like the top of the neck all the way down to the knees. Like it wasn't just, it didn't just cover the breast, but like the body, you know, it was a major piece of equipment. There you go, Mary.
Right. There you go. There you go. Equipment. Well, you know what, ladies? We are coming. We've run out of time.
We got through two.
We got through two, y'all.
We're moving.
But listen, hey. This
how many pieces did y'all say there was?
I know, there's seven. So we're going to have to do a part two.
Okay.
Yay. That is nice. I'm okay with that.
I'm great with
that. Okay, I hope the listeners are because, let me tell you, sometimes we take these pieces of equipment for granted. We, you know.
Very much so.
So I feel like the more we know, the better equipped we can be. So I want to finish our part one here and then go into our next session is part two because we don't want to leave anything out. We don't want to be like, you only need two pieces. We got to go. Peace. You know, no.
Peace out.
That's right. We want to lay it all out.
He wants us to put on the full armor.
Amen. And I don't know about the listener, but I've learned some things here today.
I've learned a lot from studying.
Yes.
It's been so good.
Yes. Praise God. So, in summary, you know, gird your loins with the truth, God's word. Study God's word and put on the breastplate of righteousness. Forgive those people who've sinned against you. And open your heart to what God has for you because that's what's going to get you through on these things. Protect yourself.
Yes.
Protect yourself with this equipment and get ready for battle. And we're going to come back with a part two and we're going to put the rest of this armor on and go to battle. We're going to go to war.
We're going to be solid.
Amen. Amen. So, Shannon, if you wouldn't mind praying and closing us out today. And listen, y'all be ready. Y'all get ready for part two because it's coming soon.
Lord, thank you for this time and your word. Thank you for this truth. Thank you for Paul and all that he has shared with us through the trials and tribulations that he went through so that we can learn and grow from all that you showed him. We pray in Jesus' name that you would empower us, strengthen us, help us to be the saints of God that you would have us to be in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you all for listening. You know, we hope this has really touched you as much as it's touched us. And come back for part two. We want to thank everyone for joining us today. If you haven't already, make for sure you subscribe wherever you're listening so you don't miss an episode. Please leave a review and share with your family and friends so others can find our podcast and we can continue to serve, to reach, and to teach.